now.
You are listening live.
Hand off, Kennedy McCoy cuts it back inside. He's at five, heading to the end zone. He's in, touchdown! Drops, throws, has a man. Ball caught Jennings. Gary Jennings breaks the tackle. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Gary Jennings! And it is a great night to be a Mountaineer, wherever you may be.
By Goddard, welcome to another episode of the Smoking Musket Podcast. Thank you to everyone who called in or texted in and tweeted in questions for the live show on Monday. I appreciate it. I am Bart Keeler, recording from outside of the heart of college football. This is our preview show to get you ready for the West Virginia-Kansas matchup this Saturday. I was flying solo the past couple weeks, and finally I have a guest to join me and talk with me tonight, and that is the site manager of www.smokingmusket.com, Mike Miller. Mike decided he could free up some time for us today, and I'm glad that he is going to talk with me about this Kansas game. Mike, how are you doing?
It is true. Much like Texas, I am back.
Hopefully more back than Texas.
Yes, I am more back than Texas.
Well, it is great to hear from you, my friend. How have you been?
Been better.
Yeah, I know you've been working a lot, so I do appreciate you taking the time to speak with me tonight. Thanks for joining us here. This is on our Blog Talk Radio platform. We switched over to this at the beginning of the season. It's a little easier for us, but you know, you can listen here online at www.blogtalkradio/smokingmusket. You can also listen to us on a couple of other different platforms. Mike, what are those other platforms they can listen to us on?
You can get us on iTunes, just like you used to be able to. Just search for the Smoking Musket podcast. We're also on TuneIn Radio and Stitcher Radio now. And you can find that on both of those, just searching the Smoking Musket podcast. You'll find us that way.
So you can follow us there. You can listen to Mike and I talk. As I mentioned, we have the live call-in show that is still also available. You can listen to that on Blog Talk Radio after it's done. You can follow at Smoking Musket on Twitter to get just a wonderful stream of entertainment all day from our executive tweeter, Matt Kirshner. And also, Mike tweets as well. I try to tweet, but I only tweet about things that are pertinent to this podcast, so don't pay attention. I'm not tweeting anything funny, that's for sure. You can also visit www.smokingmusket.com for all of the information you need about West Virginia sports. And speaking of that, Mike, we're going to hit some headlines, and then we will talk about Kansas. I could not secure a guest this week to talk about Kansas. I apologize. I would apologize more if it weren't Kansas. But we're going to talk more about the Big 12 as a whole, so I know Mike is excited to talk about that. So let's get started with some WVU sports headlines.
Let's do it.
WVU golf took home their second title ever and the first of the 2017-18 season at the Janney VCU shootout on Tuesday. They posted a final score of 22 under. It's a good start for the boys for WVU. The women's soccer team defeated Princeton and LaSalle on the road on the weekend. Both matches ended in 1-0 in favor of the good girls. And the Mountaineers are now number 5 in the coaches' poll and number 9 in the media poll. And the WVU will start conference play this Friday with a trip to Baylor, and then we'll travel to Texas on Sunday. The men's soccer team rallied off 2 wins over the weekend after falling 1-3 to UMBC on Wednesday. The Mountaineers defeated George Mason 3-2 and then American 3-1 to complete a road trip around the Baltimore, D.C. area. They'll be at home for the next match. And volleyball opened up Big 12 play at home on Wednesday, defeating TCU in a 3-1 decision. And now the Mountaineers will take on last year's national runners-up, Texas, on Saturday. So Interesting weekend for WVU sports at home. If you're interested, you can go check out all of our teams who are playing at home.
That's the 10th straight win for the volleyball team.
That's right.
So
they're pretty good. That was also the win. The coach that was here before, Coach Sinohara, she is now at Texas Christian University. That's her alma mater. But she went back there 2 years ago now. So a little bit of, I don't want to say revenge because that isn't really what it is, but nice to see that. And then I guess finally we have to mention this. West Virginia plays at Kansas in football at noon, which is 11 Central time, in Lawrence, Kansas, in Memorial Stadium. That is going to be on ESPNU. So you can watch it on real TV this week, not some weird regional sports network. They didn't even allow me to record the game because it was not on my Dish Network list. I don't know. That was weird. I hate those games on those freaking AT&T Sportsnet.
Yeah, I think everybody does. And you can count on one of those games a season. Like,
yep.
It's not going to get any better.
Yep.
We're going to have one of those games every year. So get used to it. It stinks.
I guess the silver lining is that it was the one against Delaware State, and it's usually the ones that don't matter, but it's still annoying. Mike, before we get into real Kansas talk, let's talk about the Big 12 as a whole. Do you want to go into that realm, if you will?
Yeah, let's do that.
We have to talk about this. Some big headlines coming out of the Big 12 this weekend. You may kind of know how the Big 12 works, but obviously it's a collection of universities, and the presidents of the universities make a lot of the decisions for the conference going forward. And one of those presidents of a very influential president and a very influential university is stepping down. That's David Boren, the president of Oklahoma, a former governor of Oklahoma, all these things. So he's very influential in the Big 12. He's retiring at the end of the 2018 fiscal year or whatever fiscal year we're in. He'll be stepping down from Oklahoma. I mean, I kind of jokingly made this sound like the sky was falling and that we were, you know, this is a bad thing for WVU. I actually don't think it will be that. I think it could be a very good thing for the Big 12 as a whole. What was your initial take when you heard that Boren was finally going to step down?
It didn't really surprise me. I mean, the rumors were kind of circulating the last couple days. I don't think it's going to impact much of anything, honestly. Everybody is like doom and gloom. All the Big 12's doomed now because President Boren's retiring. I don't think it's going to have that much of an impact.
Like I said, I think this might help us. I think Boren, he did not handle the expansion he didn't handle the expansion project well, and I think that was evident in how the Big 12 ended up not expanding. You know, we were expanding, we weren't expanding, and I think he is the reason why we didn't have the expansion success or plan that we should have.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair because, I mean, he was front and center in all of that. Like, he pretty much did what he wanted to do, and then, you know, the Big 12 was, you know, content on having 10, and then all of a sudden he goes out and says that they're looking at expansion again and, you know, drums everything back up. And it kind of hurt more than it helped, I think.
This is my question here, too. What does this mean for Bob Boltby?
Actually, I just saw he got an extension today through 2025.
Shit. I mean, okay. Because I'm not saying that Boren and Boltby were tied at the hip. I don't think that was what it was. But when, I mean, Boren was definitely the most influential president outside of Texas. And I think he may have had more than basically one president of a Texas university. I don't know. I mean, this is kind of a power vacuum in the Big 12. I don't want to make too much out of it, but it is a significant story. And I think it will shape how the Big 12 can approach their conference moving forward. Am I wrong about thinking that?
I don't think so. I think you're pretty much spot on there.
Well, that's the biggest news coming out of the Big 12. We don't have anything else. I guess the other big news was that the conference championship game will start at 12:30 Eastern, which is 11:30 Central, which is where the game will be being played. and Jerry World there in Arlington. Now, to me, this feels like a very big slight against the Big 12. Oh, you got your conference championship. Well, we're going to put it at 12:30.
Yeah, I think everybody feels the same way. That 12 o'clock slot on Championship Saturday, that's for like the MAC or Conference
right.
USA or whatever. Like, I don't know.
And even more so, I don't know for me, but even more so, it's the fact that the game will have to start at 11:30 local time, which, you know, sure, I get it. That's fine. But you could have put this in as like, I don't know, literally a 1 o'clock start, right? So that it starts at noon local time.
Yeah. I mean,
it feels like
I wouldn't have been. I wouldn't have been against like a Thursday night game. Why not?
Yeah, Thursday or Friday night game. Sure. Why not? Yeah. I don't know.
Better than noon on a Saturday. I don't understand it.
Well, and I understand that, you know, we're competing against the SEC, which is going to play at 3:30 because that's what CBS wants. And I get that. You're competing against the Big 12, or the Big 10. But that is a night game, it has been. That competes with the ACC championship game.
Right, and the Pac-12's on Friday.
Exactly. So why not put, you know, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 not
together,
but,
Friday.
You know, kind of compete. Yeah. Because the Pac-12 can start, and we could start the Big 12 game at 7, right? And the Pac-12
yeah.
game at 10:30.
Yep.
And that would work out both for whatever. I think it's a little bit of a I feel like it's a shot at like, well, yeah, you had it, so here you go. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Well, I think that we can. I don't know personally. I think we can kind of see where. Maybe 2, 3, maybe a total of 4 teams, I think we can see that will be in Arlington come December 3rd. What's your overall take and kind of what's your read on the Big 12 football season so far this year?
Oklahoma State is the team to beat, I believe. And I think we're going to see that.
I'm glad we agree.
Yeah, we're going to see that.
I'm glad we agree.
I guess this weekend, TCU plays Oklahoma State. So we're going to see how real Oklahoma State is. But, man, they are just putting up points. It's insane.
Well, I mean, look, we talked about it on Monday, but how great was it to watch them just absolutely demolish Pitt?
I was at a friend's house. My wife was throwing a baby shower for our friend, and we turned the game on. We turned the game on, and I saw the score, and I was like, oh, this game's over. And then I sat there and I looked at the screen again. And I was like, oh my God, it's not even the second. You know, it's not even halftime yet. It was like 56.
It's not even halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, this is ridiculous. And I was like, we got to turn this off because I actually kind of feel bad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, this is amazing.
I mean, Pitt's not they're not Wake Forest or even Kansas. You know, they're a legitimate college football program. I mean, they are. How the hell do you lose by that much to a team? I mean, at home.
Pitt kind of fell apart when they lost their offensive coordinator last year or this year. I mean, that's everything ran through Matt Canada, and he was a good offensive coordinator for Pitt, and
right.
they're hurting badly now.
Well, he's doing great things down at LSU, that's for sure.
to make Saturday even better. Our other friends that were there are Virginia Tech grads. So they put the Virginia Tech game on, and there for a while, it looked like ECU might pull off an upset.
it
was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. They looked competent, I suppose. I mean, okay. So we both think Oklahoma State's the team to beat, but if you were to ask anyone outside the Big 12 and probably anyone who doesn't care about Big 12 football that much, Oklahoma's still the team to beat, and that's fair. You've got Baker Mayfield still leading the charge. They beat Ohio State in the horseshoe this year. Anything about Oklahoma State that jumps off the page at you?
About Oklahoma or Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma, sorry.
I don't know. I really haven't watched. I mean, I kind of watched the Ohio State game. I still don't think they're the team to beat. Everybody outside thinks they are because they're the what they've had like 10 straight or 13 straight or something stupid. But I think they're good. I mean, I'm not going to slight them. They're good. Baker Mayfield's good. I don't know about them yet.
Well, I think the one thing that they do have again is they do have seemingly a stable of running backs, but they haven't. I mean, the running backs haven't done a whole lot, and they haven't amassed a whole lot of yards individually, mainly because they have, you know, 3-4 guys who can run. But that concerns me as you get deep into the season, just because if you have depth at a position, you know, by week 10, that's going to be an advantage for you. So that's the one thing that I think they do have is depth in the backfield. They obviously have a good offensive line. I don't know how good their defense is this year, to be honest. I mean, you can't tell me that Ohio State's some great offense. I'm sorry, you just can't. And every other team they played is UTEP and Tulane. I mean, so I don't know how complete of a team they are. I guess that's my point.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. You know, I mean, we know they're good. And, I mean, they are Oklahoma, but how good are they?
Well, we're not going to really find it out because they got Baylor this week, and I don't think they have a real game until, you know, middle of October. So who knows what they're going to actually be. I don't know. I feel like they have a little bit of if we had beaten Virginia Tech, I think people would say the same thing about us. Well, yeah, they played good against Virginia Tech, but who else did they beat?
Exactly. Yep.
And I would have to concede that point because, yeah, I mean, if they looked very put together against Ohio State, but the other two teams, sure, they look confident, but you should look confident against UTEP and Tulane. So, I don't know. Jury is still out on Oklahoma, but Oklahoma State, to me, looks like the real deal, and I'm sticking to that. Who is the third best team in the conference?
Oh, I don't want to jinx this, but I think it's us.
Okay.
Just from what we've seen, I feel like it's us.
I mean,
Kansas State lost last week. Well, TCU, I don't know. TCU is a tough one too. So they might be third.
Yeah. But then again, I don't know what Arkansas is this year either.
They
haven't impressed at all. I mean, granted, I didn't think they were going to beat SMU the way they did. So a 20-point victory in that game was pretty good. But look, Jacksonville State isn't anything to write home about. You know, but their defense looks a little improved this year. Their offense looks like they actually can carry the team a little bit better. But they haven't really been tested. They're going to be tested, you know, against Oklahoma State. And they have a little bit of a murderer's row coming up. They've got Oklahoma State. Granted, they have a bye week after that, but they've got Oklahoma State, bye week, us, and then at Kansas State. So they could easily be 0-3 in the conference before they get really into it, or they could be 2-1, 1-2, and actually have a good win. Who knows?
Yeah, they might be the big question mark right now in conference.
Yeah. Let's talk about Kansas State for a second then, because we all expected them to go into Nashville and beat Vanderbilt. It was not let's be honest, Vanderbilt is not a tough place to play. Vandy may be a tough team. Vanderbilt Stadium is not an intimidating environment to go into. Especially when half the stadium is wearing purple. They didn't look at all like a Bill Snyder coached team. And that concerns me because that's not something you would expect from Kansas State, especially on the road. You know, if they had just got blown out because Vanderbilt put up a bunch of points and that's just what they did, okay. But they should have – this is the type of game Kansas State is supposed to win. 14-7. This is a Kansas State win.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd have just told me the score, I would have said Kansas State won that game. But I don't know. And Vandy's setting it 3-0 and third in the SEC East, and up is down and down is up, and I don't know what's going on in the world.
Look, I'm telling you, I don't think Florida, Tennessee, or Georgia are winning the SEC East this year. I think this is my hot take, and part of it is coming from my deeply rooted hatred of UGA. I think it's going to be a team like Vanderbilt or Kentucky. I thought it could have been South Carolina until they got, you know, kind of whooped by Kentucky. But I, for some reason, those two teams are like, you know what? They're no team is going undefeated in the SEC East. That's like, that's the first assumption you have to make to get to the point I'm making here. No team is going to go undefeated. So
right.
It's a matter of who beats who and when do they beat them and all these weird things, right? Kentucky has a win in conference play already. So does Florida. Florida has a win over Tennessee. But, I mean, I don't know. I think it could be Kentucky. Vanderbilt's going to have to play Alabama this weekend. That'll be tough for them. Georgia plays Mississippi State. So they, you know, those aren't easy wins. I don't know. I'm just saying. I think it could be Kentucky. Cause I think they could be playing Alabama in Atlanta come December 3rd. Or second, whatever the weekend is.
Good Lord. Ugh.
I'm just throwing that out there. And then it'll be great because they're going to get stomped, you know, 52-7. And well, actually, I don't think that game will be that high scoring. I think it'll be like 28-7. It'll be over in 2 hours.
It's going to be Alabama just setting on them. Because that's what Alabama does. Yeah. They just set on you and, like, beat you into submission, basically.
Well, okay. This is Kentucky's cross-division schedule this year, okay? They play at Miss State. That's a tough game, sure. Then they play Vanderbilt at home. Or not Vanderbilt, excuse me. They play Ole Miss at home. So they get the two Mississippi schools. Now, again, who knows what Miss State is? They played a really good game against LSU. But is that just one of those, that was a really good game, they played at home, they were fired up, or are they for real? We're going to find out this weekend when they come to Athens. Ole Miss, we know that they're not good for a lot of reasons. They have a little bit of the Baylor bug right now, you know, where they're just it's deserved. They're not supposed to be good this year. It's working out fine, but they're not good. So I'm just saying, Kentucky has the easiest, in my opinion, schedule that they're going to have to play. They get Florida at home. Are you kidding me? That's awesome.
Yeah, Florida at home. At UGA is probably their hardest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Conference game.
They get Tennessee at home, Missouri at home. I mean, I'm just saying, watch out for the Wildcats at Kentucky.
Man,
it's my hot take.
Maybe the world really is going to end on Saturday.
It very well could. If Florida loses to Kentucky, Florida may or may not may or may not play offense. We're still not sure how that's working for them. Kentucky can control the game. I'm just saying it could happen. It could happen.
Well, that's what'll set the apocalypse in motion. So
exactly, it'll be Florida losing to Kentucky up in Commonwealth Stadium. Let's go back to the Big 12. We can talk about things we kind of know about. Let's see. We just left off with Kansas State. I don't know. Let's talk about 3-0 Texas Tech. How about that?
I mean, they played Eastern Washington and Arizona State. I don't know what you can tell about them.
They are 3-0. I will tell you this. They have played defense. I'm not saying it's been well. They're 2-0. Sorry, not 3-0. My bad. They have played defense. I'm not saying it was well, but they put players out there that played defense.
They tried. I mean, they're trying.
Look, that's like 100% upgrade from what they did the last 2-3 years, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, they were physically able to stop people now and then. Like that Texas Tech Arizona State game wasn't as much of a shootout as I thought it was going to be. I thought that had 60-56 written all over it or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but that just goes back again to like how good is Arizona State?
They're not at all.
No,
they're
not
good at all. And we knew that coming into the.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's weird. Texas Tech 2-0. I'm not saying they're secretly decent, to steal from our solid verbal SB Nation. They're great. Listen to them. They're not secretly decent. I'm just saying they are 2-0. And there's that. They're 2-0.
While we're talking about Arizona State, you think Ty Graham has family in Nebraska? Because that looks like the next place that's going to be looking for a coach.
Yeah, he might have to move some family there soon. That Nebraska job is weird. But why would you hire Todd Graham?
That's the question people have asked for years.
Why hire Butch Davis? These are questions that I still have. I don't know. People.
I don't know why anybody would hire Randall J. Weems from Recess.
Maybe because he has a really big trash can.
I don't know about Tennessee. I'm not going to comment on Tennessee because I like Tennessee, and some of our friends of the Musket like Tennessee. But
I have nothing bad to say about Tennessee other than they've hired Butch. They hired a Butch. That's all you need to know. We're 3 weeks into this college football season. We don't know exactly who is good and who isn't. We know we have an idea. I mean, I think we both agree Oklahoma State, definitely the class of the Big 12 right now. I think Oklahoma is definitely the number two, but I don't think that's as permanent as people want to say it is. I think right now it is a toss-up between us and TCU. I think that game on October 7th is going to be very important. Very important. I need to find a bar in Orlando to watch that act. If you are in Orlando, Florida, you listen to this podcast, let me know where the West Virginia people watch the games. I will be there Friday. I'll be at a USA soccer game, so I'll be waiting to watch more football on Saturday. So let me know, please. Let's see. Who else we got to talk about in the Big 12? Real quickly, we'll talk about Iowa State real quick. We'll cover them real quick.
Yeah, we can.
They're not great. They're 2-1 though. Their one loss to Iowa, and what a game I thought they should have won.
They're averaging like 41 points a game.
Yeah, they're scoring a hell of a lot of points. Like for what they have been, they are actually looking like a Big 12 team.
Yeah,
so props to them.
I'm kind of impressed. They beat, Northern Iowa and Akron?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, look, not incredibly impressive teams, but there's, like you said, they've scored 42, 44, and 41 points this season. So right about 42.5 points a game. Actually, I might be right at 42 points a game. I don't know. I don't do math. Whatever. That's pretty good. I mean, that's real good for a Big 12 team. That's going to win them a game or two in the Big 12.
If you would have said Iowa State, Texas, and Baylor after week three and asked me which one was going to be higher in the rankings or in the conference standings or overall record, I guess, Iowa State wouldn't have been the one I picked.
No, absolutely not. We'll talk about that next team now. Let's just go straight into Texas because this is that enigma that keeps coming up. Texas is back. Are they not back? What are they? Look, they lost to USC, and they played really well against USC. Don't get me wrong. However, let me amend that statement. Neither team looked very capable of doing anything in that game until the fourth quarter. That was a very boring game to watch. That was like Alabama-LSU part one from like 2008. That was not a fun game to watch until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I actually fell asleep watching it, so I missed all the fun.
Well, there you go. I was, flipping back between a bunch of games, but I remember watching. I was like, no one's scoring. And I don't think their defenses were playing great. I mean, they were playing well. Texas has got a very big and pretty dominant defensive line against USC, but I don't think – I don't know. I'll give them props for – looking good, but I'm not going to give them props. They still lost. Like, they're 1-2. Their one win is against San Jose State.
They're very average right now. And their stats kind of reflect that.
Yes. They are a very average, okay team.
They are 30th in passing yards, 50th in rushing yards per game. And then points for, they're 35th. And points against, they're tied for 75th. So, I mean, they're, like, very average right now.
Well, they've given up 51 and 27 points in their losses. They obviously shut out San Jose State, but, you know, they should have. But they didn't. I mean, we should have shut out, you know, Delaware State, but we didn't do that. So props to them for shutting out the team they should have shut out. I don't know. They're 1-2. And no matter what, national title hopes are dead. So why even play football at this point, Texas? Just phone in the rest of the season because it doesn't matter, right? That's what your boosters seem to think. But they're
They'll do something dumb, like lose to Kansas State and then beat Oklahoma State or something. Like,
yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. I don't see them beating Oklahoma. I don't see them beating Oklahoma State. I don't know if they can beat TCU because these teams seem to have competent offenses. They will probably beat Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas. The Kansas State Texas game will be a very boring but important game to watch. I don't know where they fit in quite yet. They're definitely still in the middle because they have the talent to be in the middle, but they're like lower middle. Like they're like 6, maybe 7.
Yeah, they're
in my opinion.
They're just average right now. And that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, they should make a bowl. I still think even at 1-2, they should make a bowl game. I mean, they should, like I said, they should beat Iowa State, Baylor, Kansas. So there's 4 wins total. They should beat Texas Tech, maybe. So, I mean, I think they still have every opportunity to make a bowl game. They're going to have to get a win over us, TCU, Kansas State, Oklahoma State. Possibly 2 wins because I don't know if they're going to sweep the bottom 4. So who knows? You know, from that perspective, can they? That was the one thing that I think people take for granted last year again about our West Virginia team. We beat the teams we were supposed to beat. Yes, we lost to the 2 teams that we should have, you know, maybe it would have been nice, you know, if we just beat Oklahoma or Oklahoma. We were supposed to lose to them. We lost a lot of games, actually, that we were supposed to projectedly lose, right? But we won because we were consistent. You saw the peak. You saw the best we could possibly be. And it wasn't better than Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. It wasn't better than Miami. That was just a fact, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what Texas is. I don't know where Texas's ceiling is, but we know where their bottom is, their basement is. And it was, it could be offense like what happened against USC and defense like what happened against Maryland. So we know that they can do that because they've shown us that. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know where their ceiling and basement is because we don't know yet. We don't have, like, we don't know.
Yeah, we just don't have enough, information, data on them at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it's 3 weeks in. I get that. But it's just like, I'm not quite sure. You don't look, your best even still doesn't look that great. So
right. That's
my point. Let's see. We'll talk about Kansas later. We will touch on this one team. We'll talk about Baylor for 5 seconds. Baylor is 0-3, and that's enough of that. Let's talk about Kansas, though. Let's start getting into this West Virginia-Kansas talk because we play this game on Saturday. It's West Virginia versus Kansas, 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central in Memorial Stadium in Lawrence, Kansas on ESPNU. The Mountaineers may have looked really good in 2 of our first 3 games, maybe 3 of our first 3 games, but our 2 wins have come against teams that don't rate very highly on any scale whatsoever. Kansas, on the other hand, is 1-2. They picked up a nice win to start the season, but seem to have downgraded significantly since then. What are your initial thoughts about what West Virginia has been able to do so far this season and what Kansas has done so far this season?
We've been able to move the ball. I mean, that's really what we needed to see. We're able to get in the end zone. We're scoring. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we're averaging at this point. I guess
46.3
yeah.
points per game.
Yeah. Okay. So that's up from last year, because last year we were
yep.
under 35, I think, or right around 35.
Yeah.
So offensively, we're where we need to be. Defensively, there's still a lot of question marks.
Absolutely.
We're not bad, but again, we've been playing Delaware State and ECU. You can't really get a good read on that.
No, and look, I know people are going to complain about that Delaware State game. You can't. It is hard. I don't care how hard you prepare and practice. It's hard for a noon kick against a team that you probably haven't heard of until this week to play for real. I'm sorry. That's just human nature. It is. Especially a team that you know you should beat. Like,
hey,
destroy.
I hate games like Delaware State. Like, I'm okay with scheduling FCS teams.
Absolutely. I think, yes.
But don't schedule Delaware State. Don't schedule bad FCS teams.
Right. Like, we learned something, I think, against Youngstown State last year, right? We learned we need to defend the run better. We learned we need to try the deep ball a little more often because we have the big play potential. We learned these things because Youngstown State is, one, a team that is coached well, and two, a competent FCS program. Like, they're a good program. Delaware State is not that. And I don't know what we learned from East Carolina other than Marcus Sims is fast.
Nothing. I'll be honest, I fell asleep during that game too. I sat in the recliner, and by halftime, I was snoring probably.
Yeah.
It was just a boring game.
I watched like the first drive of the second. I watched like the first two drives of the second half. And I was like, all right, I'm done with this. Same thing with Delaware State. It wasn't worth it. But I think from my perspective, and you said this, our scoring has looked more easy this year. Last year, and I liked the really long drives, but like it just didn't feel like we had all that explosive play potential. We definitely have that this year. And I think that's a huge, huge improvement. We even had glimpses of it against Virginia Tech. We just weren't able to execute. Thank you, Marcus Sims, for coming in against teams that don't matter. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. But I think we definitely have proven we can score a lot more. But Kansas hasn't been terribly bad at scoring.
Yeah, they've scored 38, 27, and 30. So, I mean, they're right there around 31 points a game, 32.
That's not bad at all for Kansas. I mean, they have upgraded their talent level significantly since David Beatty has come. And I think, honestly, look, I don't want to tell Kansas fans how to feel, but, like, look, you just want to look like a confident, competitive football team at this point. And I think Beatty has given you that. Granted, your losses to Central Michigan and Ohio aren't great, but at least you kind of looked like a team that knew what it was doing.
Right, and I saw an article from the Kansas SB Nation blog, you know, asking if it was time to get rid of Beatty. I don't think it is. I think they need to stick with him.
What are you going to get?
Right. I mean, you're Kansas. You got to be realistic. Kansas in football is not going to light the world on fire every year. You're not going to go out and get some great coach. I think you have to let the coach build the program.
I think David Beatty is actually the guy to do that. I really
do. Yeah, it looks like right now that it looks like that's what he's doing. I mean, I haven't looked at their recruit rankings, but at the beginning of this recruiting cycle, they were like, there's like four
They're
five-star recruits.
Yeah.
Those five-star recruits aren't going to stick with Kansas, but if he could pull in one of them. I mean, you just got to give him time, and it's stupid for Kansas fans to want to just ditch a coach after like a season and a half.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's a little impatient, and I think that it I don't want to tell you, well, you got to suck it up and suck, but I think he can put the program on the right path. Look, their quarterback's secretly good. Peyton Bender, low-key, pretty decent quarterback. Completion percentage around 58.2. Not great, but he's thrown for 1,030 yards. That's pretty darn good. That's more than Will Greer has. Granted, I think he's played every snap of every game, but that's besides the point. He does have a problem turning the ball over. He's got 6 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. So if you want to look at the Achilles heel of Kansas, they do have a tendency to turn the ball over.
So what, I'm hearing Kaiser White might have a good game. Because right now he has I saw it from Pro Football Focus. He has like a 19.7 passer rating against, which means
– holy cow, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was like that.
when opposing quarterbacks, you know, target Kaiser's side of the field, they're only completing, what, 19.7% of their
passes? Well, the problem with that is Kaiser is all over the field. So.
Right. Yeah. So he's
that's kind
fourth
of,
in the country right now. Fourth in the country.
That's pretty darn good.
Yeah. USF has a cornerback that has a zero passer rating against, which is
that.
Insane.
And he has – it's not like he's faced, like, 2 passes either.
Yeah, so, it's minimum 15 targets. So.
Yeah, it's like – you have to have actually been thrown at. But Kaiser White has had a good season so far. For real, he really has. I think this is the thing about this defense. I think this defense has a lot of playmakers out there, but I don't think as a team it's at that point that we're used to seeing it yet. Does that make sense?
It does. I don't think they've gelled as a group yet. I don't think they've learned when they need to step in for somebody else. You know, like
– yeah.
It seemed like
defenses do.
Right. It might help that we're about to get David Long back.
Yeah, not this week. Although I think he's traveling for the team.
He is traveling. He put up an Instagram post yesterday. It was like hashtag, I think it just said like hashtag soon or something like that.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see him in on a couple plays just so we can shake the rust off Saturday.
This would be the week to do it. Granted, he has to buy a week as well to get healthy. So, obviously with the meniscus tear, it's not – as a person who has had that happen to him twice, it is not a catastrophic injury by any stretch of the imagination. But it is one that does actually affect your knees because what happens – your meniscus is your cartilage. And I turned 28 on Tuesday, and my knees have been hurting for the past 3 years because, you know, they're missing cartilage. It won't affect him in terms of recovery. He'll be fine. It's, you know, with the amount of training staff and the medical attention he has, he should be almost ready to go. But it's just a recovery thing for him. So luckily he'll have – if he plays Saturday, which I don't know if he will, I don't know. Maybe he gets in if there's a blowout, then, you know, he has a full week of practice and recovery before we have to get into another game week. So that's good.
My question with Long is, when he comes back, what do you do with Dylan Tonkery? Do you keep him as a backup or do you move somebody else around? And you know,
well,
because he's been pretty good.
Can I say this? Depth is good.
Right.
Being able to rotate guys in and out is fine. Is that a fair – I mean, like, I don't know who starts because I think it would depend on – I think Long would start just for the sheer fact that he has earned it with what he's done in the past. But, like, why not have those guys who can rotate in and out?
Yeah, I just – is there another linebacker? Do you move – somebody, you know, to a different spot on the, you know, linebacker right there. But.
Well, you could, but the great thing about Gibson's defense is, and this is, I don't know if you were paying attention. I know you saw it on our Twitters, but, you know, the fellow who asked me why we play a 3-3-5 when it clearly doesn't work. Well, that's the advantage of a 3-3-5 is you can put Tonkery and Long on the field at the same time without, you could put someone else in a different position and still get the same, you can put a lot of different numbers and types of players out there and still play in that 3-3-5.
I just want to point out, as you said, Kaiser White, two interceptions so far. Drayvon Askew Henry, an interception. I think we're going to see multiple interceptions by our guys this game. I think we're going to get two. Just like I said, because Bender has a tendency to throw to the other team. He averages two a game. I think our defenses are better than what he has seen so far.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair assessment. Two sounds about right. Two interceptions, maybe maybe an interception and a fumble. I really want to see Lamont McDougal make another play. I love that
Lamont
guy.
Lamont McDougal was probably one of the recruits that I was kind of most excited for, just because he brought a size and kind of a depth that we needed to the team, and he's proven it so far this year. I like it.
I just got to say, like, setting at the Virginia Tech game and seeing this little round guy run out on the field, and I was like, who is that? Because he's about as wide as he is tall.
Yes, not tall, but he is wide. He takes up space.
But he's athletic. Like, it's not like he's fat. He is just he's going to be good. I really think he's going to be one of our better defensive linemen over the next few years.
Well, and you mentioned athletic. That's what's going to get the quarterbacks in this league. I mean, let's be honest. Kansas State, Oklahoma run the ball in a power type-ish formation. We're not going to see a team that runs the ball like Virginia Tech until ever, I don't think, this particular conference season. So if we have three down linemen who can get to the quarterback, that's what we need. And I think McDougal can do that. I think he can play both the right and the pass, but I think he has the athleticism to get in the backfield and disrupt quarterbacks.
And speaking of athleticism, Ezekiel Rose.
Love
the kickoff return.
Yep. Speaking of kickoff returns, I think we'll get rid of the Ezekiel Rose kickoff return, but we'll just talk about this as a whole. If there's one thing our team needs to improve on, it's got to be special teams, right?
Yeah, that's our Achilles heel, I guess.
It's not great, and it has to get better. Like, I'm not joking. Like, it has to get better. Real quick about Kansas, though, Khalil Herbert is the running back. He leads their team in rushing. He's got two touchdowns. Not a huge amount of yards. They don't run for a whole lot of yards, Kansas does. But he's got two rushing touchdowns this year, so that's good for him. The wide receiver, the Sims junior kid, Steven Sims, he is a legitimate threat at the wide receiver position. I think we knew this last year. But he is back. He's got 11 touchdowns in his career. He's got two so far this season. He's got over 1,400 yards receiving. So, I mean, Steven Sims Jr., definitely a guy that is going to have to be accounted for this game. Let's see, who else? I think that's really all from a Kansas perspective we have to talk about. I got to be honest, there's not a lot of people on their defensive side that I need to tell you about. Their defense has not been great. Like, that's just the fact. It's not been super good. But I don't know. I would like to see us make this easy. Like, don't make this more complicated than it should be.
Right. And I want to say that we will just come out and just annihilate them, but I don't know. I mean, are we going to try to sleepwalk through another game? Like, that's what happened last week.
Well, okay. I will say this. We looked really good to start the ECU game. Like, for real, we looked very good at the start of the East Carolina game.
Yes.
We did not look good at the start of the Delaware State game. It took us about half a quarter for us to realize that we were playing a real football game. But I don't think we'll have that problem this week because it's conference play. And I think human nature, sometimes you can't give 100% for 12 weeks out of the season. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work. You're going to have a lull. You're going to have a lack of focus. I think, I would assume that there is a refocused energy at practice this week.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
The spread of the game, they got it set for like 21 points. West Virginia is a 1-point favorite. And Bill C's advanced stats had it as like a 12-point spread in our favor.
Which I think seems more comfortable. Like, I think I don't often agree with Bill C's numbers. Apparently, this is the most winnable game Kansas has on the rest of their schedule, according to Bill C. I even mean playing at home against Baylor and playing Iowa State. They have a 24% chance to win against us. So, whatever, Bill C. But I feel like the 21.5 points is a lot of points.
See, I'm right there with you. It feels more like a, 14-17 point win.
Right.
I think Kansas
was,
is going to score a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
They have
a
good quarterback. I'm not going to say he's great.
No.
But he's not bad. He's not bad.
Their offense is better than what it was last year. That's just how it's going to be. I think we will have no problem scoring on them. They average 34.3 points a game giving up. Our offense is, I would have to say, better than the three offenses they've played already. And they give up 40-some points to both Ohio and Central Michigan. So I guess my point is, if we get into that, like what we did against East Carolina, where there was a touchdown, turnover, touchdown, stop, touchdown type thing, then yes, we will win by more than 21 points. But if we're not in a good rhythm on offense to start the game, then I think it won't. I don't think it'll be a 21-point victory.
Yeah, I'm right there. I'm thinking 17 sounds about right.
And that's fine. If you get a 17-point win in conference play, I know Kansas is not a great conference play team. I'm okay with that. That's fine. My biggest thing, I want to see Crawford get 100 yards again, because he's had 100 yards in every game we played. But can we get another back to get more than 60 yards? Like, I need Kennedy McCoy to get more than 60 yards. He had a week off the rest, though.
So. did we ever find out?
Weird team rule. No, yeah. Dana just said he violated team rules and he'll be back next week. That was it. It was the most dismissive thing he's ever said about a player being out, in my opinion.
Dana's been like real secretive, like this season.
Yes,
more so than usual. Because yes. I mean, like even Kasaza and all those guys, they're having a hard time just getting information.
People ask me; they'll ask me on the live show all the time, like, "What's the status for this person?" I'm like, "Well, Dana
don't know
one thing, and that's been what. That's all I can tell you. There's zero other information. We can tell you that David Long is traveling this week."
Yeah, everybody that's injured is traveling.
Does that mean they're playing? Who knows? Maybe they're just traveling because it's a conference game. They could be going just because it's a conference game. We don't know. But yeah,
I wish we did.
I want to see someone else get more than like 60 yards. That would be a really big step for us. We need another back. I'm not mad at Crawford, obviously, but like we're going to need more rushing productivity from someone else.
Yeah, I feel like Tevin Bush has come close to breaking a few, big runs. He did have one 15-yard run last week or something.
Yep.
Somebody's got to step up. I mean, it's life or death if they don't, but it would make me feel a lot better if somebody did.
Well, it would be nice to know that we have both Crawford and then another back who, when they're on the field, you know that you have to account for them and that they're going to hopefully give us, a decent productivity, a decent production when they're on the field. That's all. That's all I want. Just show me someone else. Any weird requests you have from this game, if that makes sense? Other than don't get hurt.
Yeah. Please don't get hurt. I want it less drops. Less drops from wide receivers. Last week, there was a lot of drops.
I think that goes back to the focus thing.
Yeah, I want to see less drops. I mean, even David Sills was, he had a couple drops.
Yeah.
He's been our guy. But It's like you said, it's all just focus.
I think it is. You got to be focused in. You got to come ready to play this game. Because if you don't, then Kansas is going to, you know, they're going to score some points on you. It's going to make it more uncomfortable than it should be. So I think we both said it's about 16, 17 point win. I think my prediction was 40 to 24 for the Musket site. You'll see that article out tomorrow on www.smokingmusket.com. So you can read that, all of our staff predictions there. So that's mine, 40 to 24. Maybe it takes a while, but I think our defense will hopefully hold them to fewer big plays than we have in the past couple of games.
Yeah, I was right there with you. I was 41-24.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I don't think we cover just because Kansas does have the potential to play offense. So, yeah. Real quick before we get out of here, let's go through the Big 12 slate. Mike, I'll read the line, and you tell me if they win slash cover. Texas Tech at Houston. Houston, is that is at 12 p.m. on ABC slash ESPN2. Houston is a six-point favorite. Over under 71.
I think I might like Texas Tech here.
Yeah.
And over 71. Yeah, I feel like you gotta take the over on that.
Yeah.
It's Texas Tech and Houston. Come on.
TCU 3-0 at Oklahoma State 3-0. 3:30 on ESPN. The line is Oklahoma State. It is a 13-point favorite. Over under 71.5. Definitely take the over. Definitely. But what – I mean, this is the first big 12 game of the season.
Yeah. You don't know how good TCU actually is because you don't know how good Arkansas was. You know Oklahoma State's good. Are they 13 points better? It's hard to say. I don't like that line. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know which way to go on that.
I mean, they've shown the ability to actually score points this year and consistently. And, again, they haven't played a whole lot of people. But 28 points at Arkansas is not – it's nothing to sniff at. That's a pretty decent outing there. So, I don't know. I think Oklahoma State wins. I don't know if they cover.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll say they don't cover, but they do win.
Okay.
I think it might be close.
That makes sense to me. I think Oklahoma State wins. It is in Stillwater, so there you go. Last Big 12 game of the weekend, other than ours, obviously. Oklahoma 3-0 at Baylor, who is 0-3. 6:30 on Fox Sports 1. Oklahoma is a 27.5 point favorite.
Ooh, that's a lot of points, but Baylor is bad.
And Oklahoma has covered very well this season, by the way.
Yeah, I'm kind of going to ride Oklahoma there with the I think they're a four touchdown.
You can't tell me that Baylor is any better than Tulane or Tulsa, or like you can't tell me that they're markedly better than any other team that Oklahoma's played this season.
Right. Yeah.
And they stomped everyone.
I'll take the line Oklahoma there.
Okay. All right, so those are the Big 12 games. Again, West Virginia plays Kansas at noon on Saturday. That is on ESPNU. So tune in. You can watch the Mountaineers and the Jayhawks in our first Big 12 conference game of the season. Mike, I enjoyed having you on here again. Thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, no problem. I'll be back next week, too. Hopefully for the call-in show.
So we'll do the call-in show Monday. We'll announce the time, but it'll be Monday, either 8 or 9 o'clock. Just depends on when we can get there. So you can call in the call-in show Monday. For Mike, I've been Bart. Thanks for listening to the Smoking Musket podcast. And as always, goodbye, buddy. I hope you find your dad.